Good morning, Shore community. Good morning. Welcome. Please do come and take your seats. Of course, we welcome everybody this morning, both here and online, but especially this morning, we, in addition to focusing our complete attention and affection on the Lord, we focus our attention on the mothers that He has created, and we celebrate you mothers this morning here and online. We give thanks to the Lord for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning in your presence, we ask, Lord, that you will open our hearts to let you in. We ask, Lord, that you would dwell richly, not just here in this building, but inside each one of our hearts. And now, consciously, Lord, we take down every barrier that we have erected to hinder your entrance into our hearts right now. We open the gates of our hearts now and say, Holy Spirit, would you come? And not only would you come, but would you take us up into the realm of heaven this morning in our worship, that as we worship you, we may do so boldly before your throne this morning. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you. We welcome you. And Lord, we gladly come before you. We ask for your blessing, Father, the blessing of your presence upon this, our time of worship together. And we ask, Lord, that our worship may bless you. May bless you, Lord, and may be a sweet aroma to you this morning. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you like to lie down or stand on your head or stand up or sit, adopt a posture that's comfortable for you and let's worship the Lord together. I'll raise a hallelujah. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a in the middle of the mystery. Jesus this morning. We say hallelujah. We raise our hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. Thank you, Father. Please take your seats just for the moment, and we thank God for the notices read by Tia.
Good morning. I hope you're all doing fantastically today. Welcome to all of you, whether you're new, whether you're visiting, whether you're online, wherever you are, welcome. You are welcome here in this place. I just wanted to share with you first, before I start the exciting community messages. We were chatting a while ago in Dan and Ruth's life group, and I had one of the moments this week that we were talking about, and I just thought I'd share with you what that moment was. I call these lamppost moments. I am desperate to coin this term. Basically, when I was young, I was on a hockey pitch, and it was drizzly, it was raining, it was wet. I was tired, didn't really want to be there. And I looked up at the floodlights, and underneath the floodlights was the lovely rain. Has anyone ever looked up at a lamppost before and you see the rain? Like it's like sparkly and drizzling. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's beautiful. And that was like a real moment of joy in amongst a lot of so I call these moments lamppost moments, and I had one of them this week when I was walking across the school campus, and I suddenly realised the sunshine. Anyone else realise the sunshine this week? Yeah. And I just stood, and one of the children came up to me and was like, Miss, are you all right? And I was just like, yeah, I'm all good, I'm all good. Thank you, God, for the sunshine. So have a think. Quick think, what was your lamppost moment this week? Did you have one where you just stopped and had a moment of joy? Share with the person next to you. You've got 30 seconds. What was your lamppost moment? Go for it. Amazing. I hope you had a very joyful week, wherever that moment was. So now moving on to community messages. Woo-woo! The Come As You Are group, which sounds awesome, Thursday the 4th of April for 6 weeks at 7:30 in the cafe area, exploring the topic of the Holy Spirit with Michaela and Richard. They'll look at the biblical material, discuss the ways in which we experience God in the relationship between you and the Holy Spirit. Come as you are, which is awesome. Come in your PJs if you really want to, and see what God has in store. Very exciting. Music practices happen every fortnight. The next one is Wednesday, the 14th of March at 7:30. You don't need to be musically gifted. You just need to come and have fun. Coffee Plus, next Thursday, the 14th of March from 10:30 to 11:45. Come and join for a cup of tea or coffee, chat with people, meet with people, hear about what has been going on in other people's lives. It should be a really nice kind of time of community, so come for a cup of coffee. Also, speaking of coffee, the Coffee Rota, Carla and John do this all the time, and it's just like collecting up cups, maybe doing some washing up after the services. That's such a special time where we can all kind of chat and connect over a cup of tea, which is amazing, but there is a lot of work that goes into it. So if you feel like you could even just once a month help out with that, that would be amazing. Please talk to Carla. Just some prayer needed for Christian Sargent and for Claire as well. Christian's unfortunately in hospital at the moment, so please keep Christian and Claire in your prayers. I would like to chat to you very quickly about Wet Camp. Now, I don't know if you remember a while ago, like after the summer, we watched a video of all the young people being like whacked off inflatables. So Wet Camp is basically a youth camp from ages 9 all the way to 17. And it is a fantastic opportunity, not only for you to have a week off, but for your children to make new friendships, to grow in their relationship with God, and spend a week in a field. Who doesn't want that? The early bird tickets are out now, and this year it's in Cromer in Norfolk. We're keen to kind of get an idea of who would be up for it, so that we can organise kind of sharing lifts, because we know it's a long way. But it is an incredible, incredible opportunity. Also, if anyone fancies leading, it's amazing. It's basically a free holiday, and you get to kind of do children's stuff and jump on inflatables and stuff. It's amazing. So if you fancy leading as well, please come and talk to me, Ruth Clark or Joe Parnell, if you're interested. The children don't need to be in the church. They could, whoever, find people. It is the most amazing thing ever. So kind of... And it's quite all right, they have Portaloos. There you go. And if you're the younger ones, you get proper showers as well, not in the older camp. If that sparks any interest for you, please come and talk to us. It's the most amazing thing. Amazing. Collection. Could I have some budding volunteers to come and grab some baskets? Thank you. Amazing. I'm just going to pray over this collection quickly, and then I'm going to invite Amanda up to talk about Mother's Day. God, I just thank you for these offerings and these gifts, and I just pray that you'll give us wisdom to use them in the way that you want us to use them, and that we can do that with kind of a sound mind, and that we can just continue your work in this church and in this community, God. We love you so much. Amen.
Yes, as Simon mentioned, it's Mother's Day today. How many people had breakfast in bed? Dan, that doesn't count. What about Ruth? It was also International Women's Day this week, wasn't it? So today we want to remember and honour our mothers and all those who've been blessed with a mother's heart for other people, for children and adults alike. We think of those in our community that support our children, the kids' church leaders, the toddler volunteers, those who work in schools, in social care, and in our Treasure Box nursery. We want to honour them, and we thank all of you and all those who show care and kindness like a mother, support like a mother, encouragement and love that comes from the mother heart that God has given us. We're grateful for all of you, and we have a little gift to pass round. So I'm going to ask the children to help me, so we might need to zoom out on the live feed. Can some of the children come and help me, because we've got something to give out. And as we give out these things, I want to pray a blessing. Come on then. We might need some other helpers. Oh, great. Some, they're coming. We've got some flowers here. I wonder if you could give them to all the lovely women in the congregation. And we've got some chocolates. I trust you with the chocolates. And we've got some little hearts. So if you can start at the front and pass them round, and all the lovely... Do you want to help? So perhaps you can just take the whole box and pass them round. Oh, Harry, brilliant. Come and help us. If you take some flowers and then you can hand them out.
Bless the Lord.
Children going out at this point? Let's bless them, shall we? Father, we just pray your blessing upon this ministry, Lord, reaching, Lord, your disciples of tomorrow today. Indeed, Lord, reaching your disciples of today today. And we pray, Father, for your Spirit to be upon each one of these young people and their slightly less young leaders. Father, as they work together, as they study together, as they, Lord, come before you in their own part of this church, Father, would you bless them and would you fill them? And, Lord, would you minister to them with your goodness and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Holy, 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 holy can see you. Holy, holy, holy. Deserve the glory, the honor. Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails. Been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my
just going to invite Jo up now, and I'm going to pray for her before she preaches for us. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you for Jo. I thank you for her wisdom, that you've been talking to her. And Lord, I just ask that we will have open ears and hearts to hear her this morning. Fill her with your spirit. Bless her for all that she's giving out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, it's good to see you all. Well, let's have a go, shall we? When I was preparing this message, I got a picture of this church, and it wasn't orange. I did say that maybe we should have some green, Dan, because we're an eco church. But the picture I got was a bag of all sorts. Now, of course, Jamie now, of course, is having a sabbatical, having a long holiday. No, better not say that. But Jamie, I hope you're not listening online, Jamie. I mean, do remember to pray for him because it is very special. And I thought, well, every Sunday from now on, you're going to have somebody different preaching. I think there's one person that's going to do it twice, but the rest, there's enough people in this church, which is amazing, and they can pass on the word of God. That is absolutely amazing. And so really, a picture of all sorts. Do they have, can you still get licorice all sorts? Oh, you can. Basset all sorts. And of course, they are very different, aren't they? Some are round, some are square. They will have all different flavours, but they have one thing in common, and that is licorice. Yes. And when we are actually going to have these, the word from other, you know, different people all through the through these next 3 months, I wonder what the Lord's going to say to us. Now, I know that the main theme will be Jesus. I know that because that's what the children always say. But I wonder what the Lord is going to say to us. So be interesting. I don't like this thing here. So, last week, do you remember what Paul Curley spoke about? That God is faithful. Yeah, Paul, they've caught it. Yeah. And what I want to say actually follows on from this. And it's that God is faithful to me. To us. Am I faithful to him? Are we faithful to him in our walk with him? I'm going to read a quote from something that Diane Regan wrote. Her husband and Patrick, is it Patrick or Paul? Patrick and her, they co-founded Kintsugi Hope, and of course we've had courses here about and which has helped us, and especially our whole well-being in the cafe is based on this. And she tells how they were running an icebreaker activity in one of their well-being group meetings. And she writes, can I have the first picture, please? There we are. That's a desert island. It's not Bognor. And she said, we asked the question, if you were stranded on an island and could have any three things, not the Bible. I mean, the Bible would be there anyway, you know. The practical things. What would they be? Now, what would you think? A what? I didn't hear that. Thank you, Jonathan. Well, they chose a knife, a fishing rod, and a solar-powered mobile phone with a signal. Had to have the signal. And then they were pushed to actually choose one. A knife or a fishing rod or a mobile phone, solar powered with a signal. What do you think they chose? Oh, do you? Oh, they've chose the phone. That's right, they did. And she writes this. She said, we are built for connection. It is wired into us as part of our DNA. God designed us this way. And David wrote, she said, in Psalm 27, and I preached on this, the one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after. And what is it? To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To dwell. You know, that means to live in God, live in God. When? Not in eternity, but now, all the days of my life. And when the Lord gave me this message in January, I thought, Lord, I've already spoken about this quite a few times in the church, and it's about time I had something different, but I didn't put it quite like that. But and the Lord reminded me of what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, and this is from the message, when he was repeating some teaching, Paul was repeating what he'd already said. And he said, I don't mind repeating what I've written in earlier letters. Is this funny? Is this all right? Yeah. And I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry. So here goes. And so here goes. I'm going to spell Shane. How can we remain faithful? Can I have the first? Thank you. And it's, I want to talk about what Jude wrote. It's the shortest, one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's the penultimate book in the New Testament. And Jude was the brother of James, and James was the brother of Jesus. So Jude must have been a brother of Jesus, but it doesn't actually say that. And he wrote, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Now we're going to, I'm a school teacher, so we're going to all read it together. Okay? "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Build. I'm concentrating on the two words, build and keep. Now, build yourselves up obviously means studying the Word of God. So important. Not just having something quick on your phone and that's it for the day, or reading a few Bible notes. It's to study. And the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, search the Scriptures because they tell of me. And then Paul says, you know, study to prove yourself acceptable unto God. And it's so important that we actually do study the Bible. And another way of building ourselves up, of course, is prayer. And the Bible says, pray always. We say, well, I can't pray, you know, but we can, because prayer is only talking. It's just talking to Jesus, talking to the Father. And we can do that anywhere and any time. And then, of course, there's church. And just, you know, we need each other, folk. We need each other. And in this world that's so secular and so busy, we need to be able to relate to people. So church is not just coming, you know, once in a blue moon. We need each other. We need to be here. And I'm glad you're here. Yes. But we need to build each other up. You know, so you see somebody down, somebody who's upset, go and chat with them. You know, and we have it on the phone line, on the mobile phones and WhatsApp, all about how we can help each other. You know, somebody's sick or somebody needs a lift. We're a family. So let's sort of build ourselves up in this way. And then keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, how do I keep myself in the love of God? Now, in the Old Testament, there's a lovely story, a story of two lovers. One is a prince and one is a shepherdess. And they fall in love, and the prince takes her into his palace. And there's lots of ups and downs in the story as it goes along. But there's one time when he's out, I don't know what he was doing, if he was working or I don't know what he was doing, but she'd gone to bed and she was asleep and she'd shut the door and she she'd had a shower and she also had her PJs on or whatever they wore in those days. And he came knocking at the door. "Come on, open the door, let me in." She said, "What, this time of night? No way, I'm not going to let anybody in now. Look, I'm in my pyjamas, I'm not going to get dressed again. I've had a wash, I'm not going to get dirty again. No way." And he kept on knocking. And then, because she was awake inside, she suddenly realised, I'm going to lose him. So she went to the door, opened it, and guess what? He wasn't there. And then she had to search for him and search for him, and she had lots of problems in searching for him. And in the end, she did find him. I'll put you out of your misery. But what I want to talk about today, all that is leading up to something that I call the nothing between life. That's it. And I want it to To me, that is so important in my own Christian life, to have nothing between me, a door between me and the Lord Jesus, between me and the Father, between me and the Holy Spirit. And you know, we are saved. We have our salvation is free. We don't have to do anything. But the Bible is always telling us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Build yourselves up continually. Keep yourselves in the love of God. God's love is there, but things can come in between me and him, and my walk with him is not as it should be. So I'm going to talk about three cons. Not the cons where you're defrauded, but this is a con that's a prefix. And the first one is conscience. Now, we can have a good conscience or a seared conscience. And I'm not a psychologist, and I know that this is a very deep study, to study the conscience. But I know one thing, and I think you might agree with me, I've got one. Have you got one? Yeah, that's right. And it actually says that, and I found this quote, conscience is an inherent ability of every healthy human being to perceive what is right and what is wrong. And C.S. Lewis, who was an Oxford Don, who became a Christian quite later on in his life, he wrote Mere Christianity and The Problem of Pain, and he also wrote my favourite books, The Chronicles of Narnia. That's right. And he says, with a tongue in his cheek, an inherent human beings all over the earth have this curious idea that they ought to behave in a certain way and cannot get rid of it. And I know that from when I worked in Africa with a tribe of people that only got the gospel in the 1930s. And they had a conscience, and it wasn't perhaps the same way as we might have it, but God used this to speak to them, and they knew when they had offended the evil spirit. So they believed in God, but he was far away and just not interested in them, according to them. But evil spirits, they knew sometimes if a calamity hit them, if they had sickness in the family or death, or if the crops failed, then they would say, well, what have we done? What have we done? And then they would take chickens and goats and guinea fowl and cattle and sacrifice to appease these spirits. They knew inside that they'd done something wrong. And what I think is so wonderful is we folks, look, as I look around, we've got temples all around. You're a temple, a house of God, and he's dwelling in you. You might not feel like it, but that's it, and we've got the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit touches our conscience, that is the wonderful thing, so that the barrier between us is not there anymore. Do you get any sort of Holy Spirit nudges? Do you know what my latest one is? It's recycling and washing it and making sure that it's all clean before I put it in the bag. And then, you know, and have to, oh, it's all right, and wash it, put it in. I mean, it might be completely different for you, but that's what the Lord's spoken to me about. Have you got any other things that you can think of? The Holy Spirit touches you. How about blessing somebody when they cut you off in the car? Yes, that's a good one. Keeping to the speed limit? Yes. Who's laughing like that? Hey. yes, all these things that, you know, and if you're in the supermarket and you're getting some clothes and one drops on the floor, you pick it up. And then the Lord says, what about that one over there that somebody else has dropped? You think, what? Pick it up. It's just these little things, but he smiles and he enjoys it with us. So afterwards, if you want to tell me how he's touched your conscience, just let me know. Now, Jamie has actually spoken twice about what I want to talk about now. And I was thinking, Lord, you know, do you want me to say it again? And he does. And it's on forgiveness. And the first one is from Mark 11, and it says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven can forgive you." Now, Jamie dealt with this, but what I want to say is, against anyone, forgive them. In a way, no, it's not easy, but if somebody's done something to you, yes, you are to forgive. I always think of that father in, was it Enniskillen, when the bomb blew up a whole lot of people, and his daughter was there. And he said immediately, "I forgive them." And that touched the nation. The nation was touched by forgiveness. And the thing is, too, if we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. And so I've been searching my heart and saying, Lord, I mean, consciences are different. You know, God touches us in different ways. But there is the basic, and this is one of the basics, that we have to forgive in order to have forgiveness ourselves. How dare I ask God to forgive me if I haven't forgiven somebody else? And then the next one, and I think this one's hard. "Therefore, if you enter a place of worship and are about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you." It's okay, that's their problem. They've got a grudge against you. The Bible says, "Abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to the friend and make things right, and then and only then come back and work things out with God." That's something, isn't it? You know, somebody's got a grudge against you. I'll try and be quick with this one, but I had an incident in Africa where to do with a fan on a stand. Now, I lived in an area where there was no electricity. And I'd come home on leave, and I found out that the Lord didn't want me to continue in Africa, but I had to go back and give away all my belongings and sort it out. And somehow or another, in the garage where all my belongings were there, there was this fan. And I knew that it had been given to a pastor whose wife had died in hospital in the capital city, or the next to capital city. And she'd had cancer, and when in third world countries, you have to have, you know, you as a family, you go and sleep and you look after the sick person. And the nurses just give you the medication and that's all, but they don't look after them, and that's what they did. But somebody gave them some money to buy this fan because it was so hot out there and she needed to be cooled down. And of course, when she died, the fan came back to where we were. And the pastor, he was in a village where they didn't have any electricity. So he didn't want this thing. But then I heard that there was a pastor in a town where there was electricity. And he was saying, "She's kept that. It's mine. It's mine. Why is Mum, you know, Joe kept this?" And he had a real grudge against me. And I had one day, I was going back the next day to England, and I had one day to go and sort this out. And I thought, well, what I'll do, I'll just write a little note and just say, you know, "I'm sorry, I didn't keep it. I had no idea it was given to you." And the Lord said to me, "No, go and talk to him and put it right." And I'm so glad I did, because that would have gone on forever and ever, wouldn't it? And you know, that's how you react. But of course, I must say that if there's an abusive situation, then you have to be careful of this. There's that side. So, I like gardening. Anybody here like gardening? Good. Do you like the insects and the bees and the butterflies coming in? What about slugs? What about snails? No, we're not so keen on those. And this is like me going up and down. Okay. Oh gosh. Thank you. Rescue me, Simon. Thank you. I think it's just a bit lower, please. Thank you so much. And they have, we're talking about slugs and snails, weren't we? And in, there's a lovely verse in Song of Songs, and it talks about foxes. Now, foxes are beautiful creatures, aren't they? They're lovely. We see them in the these areas around about here. But if you ask a poultry farmer what he thinks of a fox, and the Bible says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, the little foxes." Okay, the little. Mm-hmm. Our vineyards that are in bloom, and apparently the foxes used to get into the vineyards and dig up the roots, and also they used to nip off the little buds. And Joyce Meyer, I don't know if any of you know her, seen her on television. She has an American lady who has a terrific teaching ministry. This really touched me, and it says, I'm thinking of this barrier, you know, in between us. Watch the little foxes in your life. Forgive even the most minor offences so that your heart stays clean. There's nothing between, nothing between. Do not cut corners in your finances or on the job when you think that no one will notice. Do not expose yourself to ungodly influences. And aren't there a lot around now? Oh, online, what you can see, you know, on the TV, what you can watch. And we have to be so careful. I have to be so careful. Sometimes I put a program on, I think, what? Turn it off. So sometimes it's good to know what people are watching, but you just have to be careful. Do not expose yourself to ungodly influences, thinking it won't hurt me this once. Little things add up to big things. And before you know it, little foxes can ruin a strong, healthy vine. Yeah. And so we need to maintain a good conscience between God, nothing between us and God, and he can help us. He'll show us. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He will show us what we should do. And a seared conscience, that's what the Bible also talks about. We don't want a seared conscience. You know when you cauterize a wound? That's what it is. When you cauterize a wound, you make the skin dry and hard. And that's what we could have, you know. God doesn't want us to have that kind of conscience. He wants us to have a conscience that's sensitive to him. But if I don't listen to him, and I continually don't listen to the Holy Spirit in my life, then my conscience can become seared. The next one is conform. Am I conformed in the image of the world, or am I conformed in the image of the Son? Paul wrote to the Romans, and this is a verse I've often quoted, "Do not conform to any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know when you make gingerbread men, you get the cutter, you put it in, and that's when it takes the form of the cutter. And that's what conform means. It means to take the shape of the mould. And in those days, they used to make bricks, and of course, they put the clay in, and it took the shape of the mould. And I like it how the message says this: don't become so well acquainted or adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Now, what does it mean by the world? Who's the prince of this world? Thank you. Satan is the prince of this world, and he'll do anything to put a barrier between us, between me and my Saviour Jesus. And John wrote, "Don't love the world's ways, don't love the world's goods." There's nothing wrong with goods, but it's getting the balance, isn't it? "Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father." And we are influenced, aren't we? We were just talking earlier on, as we were welcoming people, that the in colour is orange and the in colour is green. Well, when I go in the shop and I look and I think, well, I can't wear that colour, I can't wear green. But who said it? I don't know. Where does it come from? the fashion gurus, I expect. And I remember when I went to, when I came back from working in Africa once, when I went out, all the ladies were wearing miniskirts. But when I came back, they were all down to their ankles. And I thought, well, where did that come from? Where did that change, you know? And apparently the in colour for decorating the house, I thought was grey and white, but apparently it's changed. Well, who told me? It's green. Did you know that? Well, you better... And I don't know, everybody, houses seem to all want cladding now. Have you noticed? A lot of houses have cladding. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, where does all this come from? And what about, you know, if you go shopping? I was talking with Kim and she was telling me, you don't have an ordinary Tesco bag or you don't have an ordinary Sainsbury's bag. What do you have? Oh. Yes. Yes. it's just you know, smiling a bit, but that's how it is, isn't it? We can be so influenced by our culture. Even our language can change and the way that we look at things. So don't all go out and buy a bag with hearts on, whatever you do. And God wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. When people see you and when people talk to you, do they see Jesus? That's the main thing, yeah. All right, and I'm going to put a little extra one in, and that's compromise. It is so easy to compromise with the world. And we're called not to do that. And if I don't repair the brakes on my car, I compromise my safety. And if I cheat, I compromise my integrity. And I think the biggest thing for us as Christians is relationships. You can compromise, say, it's all right, I can go with that person. She's not a Christian, he's not a Christian, but it's okay. It'll work out all right. They'll become a Christian. And, you know, it doesn't always work like that. And so compromise is something that we have to watch, or I have to watch. Next one is conscious. Now, if you're learning English, I'm sorry, because conscience and conscious, it really is a hard language, isn't it? And so I want to talk about conscious. Pardon? Is it? Oh, it's wrong up there then. What does it say? Does it? Thank you. Oops. Thank you, Richard. he helped me, so bless his heart. Anyway, it's conscious. Okay, thank you, Simon. We can either be awake or asleep. Who's awake now? Come on. Oh, yes, you are. Good, 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 good. Yeah. And, you know, when you... I don't know. I suppose most of us have had an operation and we wake up, don't we, afterwards. And you suddenly... You're aware. There's a nurse there, or you're in the ward, or somebody's offering you a cup of tea. And... What else? Yeah, you know that you're alive and you're okay. And the Latin word, now let me just see. Oh yes. The Latin word in the original was knowing or being aware. And to know, you develop a relationship with someone through meeting and through spending time with them. You know, if there's a child playing, they know that their mum is nearby. They know subconsciously. And my favourite verse in the Bible is this one. My determined purpose is that I might know him, Jesus, that I may progressively become more intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognising and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Let's just pull something out of that. Intimately acquainted. Wonders of his person. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. When you get up in the morning, do you say, I love you, Lord Jesus? When you're perhaps walking along somewhere, oh, thank you, Lord, for that beautiful sky. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that person. Lord Jesus, I love you. You know, I'm not married, but I'm sure that, couples do still say, I love you. There's a story of that man, isn't it, whose wife said that he never told her that he loved her. And he said, well, I said it at my wedding vows, and that's enough. And, you know, just telling him that we love him, thanking him for what he's done for us, his goodness, thanking him for when it's tough. And, you know, we were talking about, we were singing so much of these songs about he's running after us. He's there. He's running. He wants us to know him. And he doesn't want any barrier. And he wants us just to enter into the fullness of the life that he can give us. And so what it means is this conscious, have we got the right word now? Yes, he has, yes. Conscious awareness of his presence, talking to him. And sometimes he might not feel that he's there. And sometimes we go through the times in life when we don't feel his presence, but he's there. He's there. And if you're going through a dark time now, he's there. He's with you. And he might be withdrawing his presence, but he's there. So just hang on there. You will come through. And then talking to him about everything that affects me. You don't have to ask him what colour socks you wear today. Or, yeah. But, you know, in all our decisions, we can say, Lord, you just show me, what do you want me to do? What's on today, you know, and how do I go about it? And then enjoy him. Yes. Isn't it wonderful to enjoy Jesus? Yeah, and to know him. And if you don't have this relationship with him, seek him. You don't have to do anything special except to seek him. And if you seek him, you will find him. And I'm the same. I seek him. I still want to know more and more the wonders of his person. Now, Jonathan Lex. Yes, yes. We were talking all several years ago about the hymn books that we used in our little mission churches. And I said, I used to have this one. Anybody else use this one? Yes, that's right. Jonathan did. And Fiona, it's actually got your husband's name in it. And one of the songs that, one of the hymns that was in this book is this one. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Let me thy glory see. Draw my soul close to thee. Then speak in love to me, nothing between. Now, this isn't a message to condemn, but it's to connect. As we said right at the beginning, God wants to connect. Right in the Garden of Eden when man sinned, he said, where are you? And that's what he's saying today. Some of us might not know him. He's saying, where are you? I'm here. Come on, find me. And I get quite emotional because it's trying to express something that's so deep and so wonderful that he wants to connect with us. The God of the universe wants to connect with us and he wants to walk with us. And we have him in us. Let's keep our temple clean so that there's nothing between us. God bless.
Wow, thank you very much. Our time has gone, so we're not going to do any more worship, Simon. Sorry, guys. So I'm just going to pray for us, and then there will be tea and coffee and prayer down the front. If you want prayer, that anything's touched you that Joe said or anything else, there'll be people down the front. But I'm just going to pray for us now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want that intimate connection with us, that actually your door is open, that you're a God who listens to us. And we can come and say those things that maybe have affected our lives, maybe have affected our conscience. And you will then, by the blood of Jesus, remove any barriers. That you are that type of God, that you're kind and willing and open for us to come to you. So I thank you for all you've done today. I thank you for what you're doing in people's lives. And I pray you bless everyone here as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.